Welcome to the Potter's House North podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Together, we're going to go to Psalms 23 today, and we're going to read that passage of scripture, Psalms 23. And it's, many of you might have it memorized. If you do, that's awesome. But we're going to read it together, Psalms 23, and it says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Your rod and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Surely, without a doubt, without failure, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me tell you something. This passage of scripture right here is very, very personal. As I was just sitting in my office a few moments ago, I just started counting the words up, and I counted me, my, and I. And the words me, my, and I are mentioned in this text 16 times. The words that refer to him, like the Lord, thou, and he, they're mentioned 12 times. So I'm saying that to tell you that this passage right here is about relationship. It's about having a relationship with God. And it's about, this is a very personal text. I don't really have a title today. I guess if I did, I would say take it personal. But I want you to take it personal. I'm going to give you some things that's on my heart, and then in a few moments, Pastor Travis is going to come and we're going to take communion. But right now, I pray, Father God, that you would speak in this place, speak in that place, speak in that place, wherever your people are. If we've ever needed to hear you, we need to hear you now. So I thank you for the word. So many things might be taken away from us in all of this, but your word remains true. Your word remains true, and we stand on your promise. We thank you for your word. Today, as I speak to your people out of your word, I pray that the peace of God would cover every home, every mind, every family, every person that's troubled. I pray for the peace of God to cover and protect in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I don't know if you're standing. I do know Brother Joseph told y'all to get up off that couch. But if you are, you can sit down and be seated in Jesus' name. You know, there are so many things that we could be stressful about today. There's so many issues that's going on. The news seems to be changing just like momentarily. And one of the causes of stress, we all know that stress is not healthy, but one of the causes of stress is something that is called worry. I know that that's not the first time you've heard the word worry, but we have so many things that we worry about in life. We worry about our health. People that used to take their health for granted are worried today. We worry about our finances. Somebody is saying, I don't know if I'm going to lose my job. I don't know if I'm going to lose my home. We worry about a lot of things. We worry about our families. Is my family going to come through this? We worry about, is our marriage going to be able to last through this storm? We worry about our jobs. We worry about, of all things, toilet paper. Will I be able to find any? We are worrying about so many things. But here, let me tell you something today. The problem with worry is that worry is unhelpful. Worry is not only unhelpful, it is unreasonable, and worry is unhealthy. I say it is unhelpful because worry has never solved a problem. It never solves anything. It never really accomplishes anything. So it is unhelpful. Worry is like starting your car, sitting in the driveway, not taking it out of drive, but racing your engine. You just put your foot on the gas, and all it really does is it causes a little smoke and it causes a whole lot of noise. But the truth of the matter is you don't go anywhere. So that's what worry does to us. Worry cannot change the past. Somebody is watching today and you're worried over your past. When it comes to your past, you need to repent over your past. America needs to hear right now, God is calling us to a place of repentance. He's saying the stuff that you've done, the ways that you possibly have failed me in the past, I'm not going to hold them over your head, but I just want you to repent of them. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to worry over your past. Just repent over your past, because at the end of the day, you can't change your past and you cannot change your future. All that really happens is worry just makes us miserable in the middle of our today. So not only is it unhelpful, it is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable, and I say that because worry exaggerates a problem. Worry is like having a problem under a magnifying glass, and when you look at it through the lens of worry, all it does is it makes it bigger. And the more you look at problems when you are worried, guess what? The bigger those problems will become. And to worry about something that you can't change is absolutely useless. And to worry about the things that you can change are crazy. Just change them. If you have the power to change those things, then change those things. But either way, don't worry. Not only is worry unhelpful, and not only is worry unreasonable, it is also unhealthy. And I say that because at this time in our nation, we need to be strong. Our body needs to be strong. And the enemy would love to come in and cause men's hearts to fail them because of fear. Isn't it a mess when God preserves you from the coronavirus, but you allow fear to take you out of here? So we need to tell fear, I put the blood at the doorposts of my house, of my mind, of my life, and of my thought processes. See, our bodies were not made to worry. Did y'all hear that? I'm getting your attention because somebody's moving in the kitchen right now. I see y'all. No, our bodies were not built to worry. We weren't built like that. God didn't build us to worry. Worry causes us to have ulcers. Worry causes us to have headaches. Worry causes our backs to hurt. Worry causes our blood pressure to go sky high. Worry causes us to have insomnia. And so many, 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 many more things. And the reason it does that is because our bodies were not built to worry. Plants don't worry. Animals don't worry. Birds don't worry. Fish don't worry. The only thing that worries in all of God's creation are His people. And so because we're not built to worry, it makes us unhealthy. And because we're not built for it, it makes us unhappy. An old English word for worry means to strangle, and it means to literally choke. And that's what worry does to us. It strangles us and it chokes us, and it ultimately makes us sick. The good news is we were not born to worry. Worry is something that we've learned to do. And the reason I say the good news is because if you learn to do something, you can unlearn it as well. and you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You have the ability to unlearn worry. I'm going to say it again. You have the ability to unlearn worry. Pastor Brady, are you good at that? I'm not good at it, but I'm getting better. And we all have got to get better at that. So if we're going to get better at it, then we got to know what is the antidotes to worry. I want you to write this down because this is important. I want y'all got time to read your notes this week. I want you to write it down. Number one, one of the first antidotes to worry is to believe that God will take care of us. Whew. I heard y'all hollering amen from your house. The first thing we got to do is believe that God will take care of us. Psalms 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." One of the translations says, "I have everything that I need." Now, to really understand that, you have to really look and know what a shepherd does. So I'm gonna give you four little things that a shepherd does. A shepherd, number one, provides. And while life is trying to cause you to worry, I want you to remember that you have a shepherd, and your shepherd is a provider. A shepherd provides food for the flock. A shepherd provides shelter in the storm. A shepherd provides the basic necessities for that sheep to live its life. Number two, a shepherd protects. A shepherd protects. That means he defends against harm. He defends against the enemy. Number three, a shepherd guides. That means he points the way. That means he steers you in the right direction. That means when you don't know which way to go, what to do, what to say, you have a shepherd that says, "I am here and I want you to listen to me because I'm going to teach you how to get through this. I'm going to talk you through everything that you feel like is about to overtake you." You also have a shepherd that number four, he corrects. So when problems begin to arise, the shepherd will bring correction. When the shepherd sees the sheep getting off into a place that he should not go, he uses his staff and he uses his rod to pull them back into alignment. He corrects our path. I don't know about y'all, but I believe we are on a path that God is correcting. He is correcting our course as believers. He's correcting our course as America. He's making us understand that we need each other. He's slowing us down so that he can get our attention. He's causing us to realize that we got to pray like we've never prayed, that the blood still works. He's calling us to come together and remember him and remember what we know about him. When everything is out of our control, it is still in his control. And he works. I'm not saying all of this is God, but I am saying it will work together for our good. I'm not saying it's good, but it will work together for our good. And if we trust in him and we allow him to be our shepherd, this is what he says: "I'm going to do it for you. I'll provide for you. I'll put food on your table. I'll put a roof over your house. I can protect you when you get sick. I can guide you. I can course correct you when you feel like you don't know which way to go, because God takes care of his own because he is a shepherd." He said, I will feed you. I will gather you in my arms and I will gently lead you through whatever life is throwing up in your path. He's saying, I will help you if you will let me be your shepherd. Listen to me today, Potter's House North. He said, I will help you if you will let me be your shepherd. Wherever you're watching from, I will help you if you will let me be your shepherd. There are over 7,000 promises that are in the Word of God that cover our lives. We just have to reach in and grab hold of those promises. And when you know those promises, and when you understand them, and when you believe them, then what really is there left for us to worry about? There is absolutely nothing left for us to worry about. That's why I say worry is unhelpful, it is unreasonable, it is unhealthy, and it is unnecessary. When we worry, what we are saying is, I don't really believe that God will do what he has said he would do. Listen to that. When we worry, we're saying, I just don't believe that God's going to do what he said he would do. So the next time that you find yourself tempted to worry, remind yourself that God is not a man that he should lie. Remind yourself that he is the good shepherd. And now, don't let this shock you right now, what I'm getting ready to say. But God is not everybody's shepherd. Ooh. I said he's not everybody's shepherd. He's only the shepherd of those who will let him be their shepherd. Are you following me? Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord can't be your shepherd until the shepherd is your Lord. Woo, that's good preaching right there. I said, the Lord can't be your shepherd until the shepherd is your Lord, because the two of those things go together. You can't ask him to be your shepherd without allowing him to step in and be your Lord. If you're going to ask him to be your shepherd, you got to get out the way. You got to lay down all of your things and all of your human reasoning, and you got to get out of the way. That simply means that I've got to stop trying to be God and let God be God. If we are in a season where we got to say, God, it's in your hands. I put it in your hands. I trust in you. I am not God. I can't fix all of this. So what does it mean then for him to be the Lord? It means that when he's the Lord, it means he's in control. It means that, let's put it in today's terms, it means he's the CEO. It means he's the manager. It means he's the boss. It means he's the chairman of the board. It means that God is the one that's calling the shots in my life. It means that he is the Lord, and he is the one that orchestrates my situations. If he's not calling the shots in your life and in my life, he's not the Lord. He said, I am the one that's going to call the shots. If he's not the Lord, then he's not the shepherd, because the Lord is my shepherd. So to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life, it means that if you could look in John 10 and chapter 10 verse 14 and 27 also as well, but Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. He said, and my sheep know my voice. I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So what he's saying to us, when I am the Lord of your life, you will know me, you will listen for my voice, and when you hear it, you will follow me. You will know me, you will listen for my voice, and when you hear it, you will follow me. When you know me, listen for my voice, and follow me, what you are really doing is you're putting God in control. See, the root behind worry is fear. It's the fear that says, I am losing control. That's why people are flipping out, because they have lost control. They feel like they have completely lost control. Worry is always an attempt to control the uncontrollable. I'm going to say it again. Worry is always an attempt to control the uncontrollable. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never meant for us to have. I said it's assuming responsibility that God never meant for us to have. Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They don't spin, and yet they are clothed even greater than any king you have ever seen. Why? Because they don't just assume it's their responsibility to make it happen. So whenever you can try to control the uncontrollable, like sometimes your kids, or sometimes the world, or sometimes the situations that are going on in the world, it will always result in worry. Worry is a warning light. Worry is a warning light. And when you start worrying and you see that warning light flashing, that is for God to try getting your attention and getting my attention, trying to tell us, listen, whenever you begin to worry, that light goes off and it starts flashing in your life. It goes off to tell you, hey, you're trying to be something you're not supposed to be. You're trying to handle something you're not supposed to handle. You're trying to control what is out of your control. You're trying to control too much. So whenever we are worrying, we are trying to control something that God says, if you'll just give it to me, I'm in control and I also got the power. Listen, God is not going to fight you for control. Let me say that again. He's not going to fight you for control, but he loves you so much that he brought me today into your home so that you could hear me tell you, I ain't gonna fight you, but I got you if you'll let me have you. You gotta give him the will. He's not gonna yank it out of your hands. You gotta be mature. I told you last year was our year of great growth, and we had to grow. Some of us had to grow up, because if we had not grown up, we might not have made it through this crisis. But the fact that we made a decision to grow means that I know who God is, and I know he is able. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he can keep what I commit unto him against that day. What day? Any day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you're committed to him, give him the will. I don't know who I'm talking to. I know I'm probably talking to myself, but I bet you there's two or three more out there. Give him the will in this situation. Give him the control in this situation. He's not going to fight us for the will. He's not going to force himself on anybody's life. Either we're going to be in control ourselves, or we're going to give the control over to him. And guess what, church? He made us. He knows us. He knows what our body needs. He knows what will make us happier than we even know ourselves. He knows our frame. He knows how much you can take. He knows what you can't take. And he is a faithful God. So if you're running your life and worried about everything, let me tell you something. If you're running your life, you probably ought to worry. But if you're giving the control over to him, I dare you right now, throw up your hands where you are and say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. I give everything to you. I've been stressed out. I've been walking the floor. But right now, the Bible tells me, having done all to stand. If you've done everything you can to stand, that's all you can do. Church, just keep standing. And when you feel like you don't have the strength to stand, let him hold you up, because he is a faithful God. If you're running your life, you got a reason to worry. But if God is running your life, if he is the Lord, if he is the shepherd, there is nothing that anybody can do about that. Just trust him. He can fix what you can't fix. He can fix what the CDC can't fix. He can fix what Washington can't fix. He can jump on your life and turn that thing around so fast that 6 months from now, you could be in a better place than you are right now, or before you ever went into this mess. God has the ability. Don't lose your faith in this. Your faith might fluctuate, but hold on to your faith and know that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Let me just tell you what we're facing. We are facing a situation where it's time for us to practice what we preach. If y'all were here, I'd say touch your neighbor and say put up or shut up. It is time for us to practice what we preach. Hallelujah. Practice it. Practice it. Do everything you know to stand. Practice what you preach. Practice what you've heard. We've got some messages on our app. We've got on the church app. I've got them on my site that you can go to and you can listen to them in these moments and build your faith up. Faith comes by hearing. Your faith cannot fail right now. Do you hear me? Your faith cannot fail. Hold on to your faith. It might fluctuate. You might say, well, my faith feels mighty low, Pastor Brady. Let me tell you something. Just because your faith is fluctuating does not mean it is absent. You have a measure of faith. This is a good moment to just encourage your faith. Build your faith up in God and encourage those that are around you. The second thing that we got to remember to do in this is to begin praying about everything. Y'all hear me? Everything. I know we pray, but it's time to pray about everything. And you know what? It's time to get specific. That's what I've been hearing God say to me for the last month. If I go to pray and I might just say, Lord, help them. He'd say, how do I help them? And I said, Lord, they need a miracle in their body. They need a miracle in their finances. They need you to turn it in their favor. Get specific. This is not the time. You got the time. Okay, we're home. We're shut in. We got the time. Take the time. Listen, you've been saying I don't have time for so long. Now that you have time, how much of it can God have? How much of your time can he have? I want you to begin to pray about everything. The Lord is saying, I want you to talk to me. I don't want you to just keep it in your head in the form of worry. I want you to open your mouth and let it out. I want you to talk to me. I want you to cast your cares. And the minute something else comes in, and it will, I want you to come back to me. And I want you to talk to me again. Cast your cares on me. Talk to me about your family. Talk to me about your child. Talk to me about your husband. Talk to me about the food that's not in your cabinet. Talk to me about the check that may not be hitting your bank account. I want you to talk to me. Talk to me about the fear that's trying to overtake you. Talk to me about your job. Talk to me about your problems. Talk to me about your health. Talk to me about your issues. Talk to me. Open your mouth and talk to me. I don't want you to worry. I want you to talk to me because I am your shepherd. I am your protector. I am your provider. Well, Pastor Brady, I don't have time to pray. You do now. You got plenty of time to pray. You had time to worry. Come on now. I said, you got time to worry. If you got time to worry, you've got time to pray. And we could get a whole lot more done in prayer than we can in the time that we waste worrying. Because worry don't change a thing. Worry don't change anything, but prayer can change everything. I said worry don't change anything, but prayer can change anything, everything. Tell yourself when you get tempted to worry, I'm not going to worry, because the time that I spend worrying, I can spend praying, and my prayers can change things. My worry will not. Prayer will put you in touch with a God that has the power to change anything and everything. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. And if you'll do this, you will experience the peace of God that passes all of your... Listen, y'all, this is the time to lay hold of these words, these scriptures that we have heard preached for years. This is the time to put them into practice. Pray about everything. Not just religious things, not just prayers that you think God would want you to pray. Hello, let me say that again. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to pray what I feel like God would want me to pray. I'm going to pray about just things. I want to say it in a way that God would be pleased. Let me tell you something. If you need help, holla. God hears. He knows. He understands. And I'm going to tell you something. Pray about every little thing. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. I said, if it's big enough to worry about, it is big enough to pray about. God has the ability to take our anxiety and move it out of our way if we will trust him with it. God's ability is greater than our anxiety. Let me say that again. God's ability is greater than our anxiety. Cast your cares. Cast your anxiety upon him because he careth for you. To cast means unload. Just unload. Where are you going? I'm going in here to unload. I'm going in here to let it go. I'm going in here to let it rip. I'm going in here to drop this thing off. I'm going to download everything that's trying to slow me down. Whatever is worrying you, whatever is concerning you, whatever is stressing you, whatever is putting pressure on you, cast it on him. Drop it on him. Unload it on him because he cares for you and he has the power to fix what is worrying you. So when we trust God, when we trust God, what we're saying is, I'm not going to assume responsibility for anything that I can't fix. This is yours, God. You got to do. Cast your care upon. Now, not like when you go fishing, because when you go fishing and you cast your line, you draw it back in. Let's not do that. Let's just cast it on God and say, God, this is too much for me, and when it's too much for me, it is just right for you. Matthew 6 and 32 and 33 says, your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what your needs are. And if you seek him first, and if you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, then everything that you need, everything that you need. Mothers who are having to do school with your kids, everything you need. Fathers who are worried about where is the provision, everything that you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. As I get ready to close, let me tell you, living with fear, it's like driving in fog. I know that you've probably driven in fog before. When you're driving in fog, you don't see things for what they really are. Okay? When you're driving in fog, you don't see the road. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't see the lines. Sometimes you can't see the edge. But that doesn't change the fact that there is a road, there are lines, and there are edges. But it's difficult to see them whenever you are driving in fog. Worry is the same way. The thing that fog does, and the thing that fog and worry have in common, is that they both create an illusion. So rather than step on the gas and risk hurting yourself or somebody else, just slow down and just pray about it and take it step by step. When worry moves in, the antidote for worry is, number one, believe that God will take care of you. Number two, begin praying about everything. This is my last point. Number three, begin considering life one day at a time. Don't worry. Matthew 6:30, take no thought for tomorrow. Matthew 6:34, for tomorrow will worry about itself. When you feel like the world is caving in, listen, you don't have the grace to deal with tomorrow. Mercies are new every morning. So I got to deal with what I got to deal with today. If this scripture has ever been true in my lifetime, it is true right now. What is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, hey, don't open your umbrella till it rains. He's saying, don't pull your shovel out till it snows. Let me tell you, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. I'll say it again. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And guess what? You're still here. You are still here. And let me tell you something. If you keep looking for things to worry about, you will find them. But let's look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of its strength. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of its strength. I get it, y'all. The future can be overwhelming. But that's why God broke it down into bite-sized pieces. He broke it down into 24-hour bite-sized pieces, 24-hour increments. Matthew 6 and 11 says, give us, we all know this, give us this day our daily bread. Can I tell you, there's no pill, there's no preacher, there's no book, there's no sermon, not even this one right here, that will zap the urge to worry out of us. It's gonna all, the opportunity to worry will always be there. It's gonna take, however, it's gonna take us waking up every morning and making a conscious decision daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute, moment by moment, to choose to say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I'm not the boss. I'm not the one calling the shots in my life. I'm not the one that's in control. But the Lord is. If I'm in control, then I got a reason to worry. But if he's in control, then it's his problem. And the good thing about it is he's the one that can handle it. The challenge that believers all around the world are having today is not knowing the Lord is my shepherd. The challenge we're having is living with the Lord being our shepherd. We all know it, but living with it is a whole nother story. And today I know it feels like possibly that the bottom is falling out in your life. It might feel like that. You know, because we are at war with an enemy that we can't see. He can see us, but we can't see him. And things are changing by the moment. And whenever there's change, there is a measure of anxiety. Change leaves us with questions. How am I going to get through this? When will I be able to go back to church? Will I lose my house? Will I lose my car? Will I lose my life? Will I lose people I love? Those questions are very real. But they are not more real than the God that we have anchored in. They are not more real than the God that gave his life for us. They are not more powerful than the blood that reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. Sometimes you gotta open your mouth and just remind those issues. Listen, you might be real and the news might be talking about you 24/7, but you are not more powerful than God. If you have a name, your name has to bow to the name of Jesus. Hear me today. I said fear has to bow at the name of Jesus. Worry has to bow at the name of Jesus. Sickness has to bow at the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it with all of my heart. There's an uncommon opportunity that is wrapped up and locked up in the middle of all of this stuff that we are facing right now. And for you and for me to be able to get that opportunity out of this obstacle, we have to know Psalms 23, and we've got to live it. I don't know today what has stressed you out. I have a clue of some things that might be concerning you. I don't know all of them, but here's what I do know, and it's my job to tell you that He loves you. His love for you never changes. He cares about you. The songwriter used to say, He's as close as the mention of His name. I know He's a present help. I do know that He not only can help you, but I know He will help you. I know that the Lord wants to be our shepherd. And you know, I've read that so many times, and I've even preached it like this. I broke it down word by word. The Lord is, not was, not will be, not 6 years from now, but the Lord is right now. Shama, Jehovah Shama. He is the one that is my shepherd. And I choose to take this text personal. I want to encourage you today. Take this text personal. This week, I just want to challenge you to, number one, believe that God will take care of you. Believe that He will take care of you and your family, you and your friends, you and your brothers and your sisters, you and your pastor. Anything that concerns you, pray about it. Ask God and believe that He will take care of it. The second thing I want to challenge you to do is pray about everything. It might seem insignificant, but if it's making you worry, it's not too insignificant. So talk to God about it. You can talk to Him about it. I know we love to gather here on Saturday mornings for our prayer, but I'm going to tell you something. We ain't going to stop praying just because we can't come together. We're going to pray, and we're going to touch and agree in the Spirit. I'll pray for you. You pray for me, because I love you, and I need you to survive. The third thing I want to challenge you to do is begin just considering life one day at a time, knowing that the Lord is your shepherd.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join us online every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Streaming live at www.tphnd.org/watchnow or through our Potter's House North app.